Hello, I'm Margo Hammond with Radio St. Pete, and in the studio, the St. Pete downtown studio, I have Tara and Tamara Lush. No, those aren't two people. That's only one person. Tamara is your real name, and you write romance under the name of Tamara Lush.
Yes.
And Tara Lush is your pen name for your mysteries.
That's correct.
Did I get that?
Yes.
And I'm sure many people have told you this, but people would kill for a pen name, that Tamara Lush for a romance writer.
Yeah, that's my real
name.
And
that's your given name.
Yes.
So that's terrific. So you were obviously born to be a romance and mystery writer.
I think so.
But Tamara Lush has a different past. She didn't start out as a mystery and a romance writer. She started out as a journalist, at least for She started out as a baby, but at least
I was a baby.
working purposes, she started out as a journalist. You were with AP, and then you were with the St. Petersburg Times. And somewhere in there, you started to write romance.
I did, yes. Around 20, I had always wanted to write a romance. In my first journalism job at the Burlington Free Press, I think you probably know somebody who used to work with me there, Jeff Good.
Oh, sure.
He was my mentor there, and he's the one who got me to the St. Pete Times. But before that was even a glimmer of hope in my little journalist heart, I wanted to write a romance. I remember buying a book, How to Write a Romance, but I didn't have time, not as a young journalist. Mm-hmm. I didn't have the skills. I didn't have the time. So in 2014, I took the plunge. And then in 2015, I ended up finishing my book. And I got an agent and
launched yourself as a romance writer.
I did.
Now, I have two agendas for this interview. The first agenda is because I'm a former journalist. I'm really interested in that transition from journalism to fiction writing. But a corollary of that is what I would like to ask you about, because many of your romances and mysteries are set, or mostly set, in Florida. And yet, at least, correct me if I'm wrong, all of the cities, even though they vaguely resemble cities we might know, are all made-up cities.
For the most part. I have a couple of romances that are set in Orlando or St. Augustine. Those mm-hmm. are the two that I'm, my two main romances. All of my mysteries are set in fictional places that are kind of mashups of other places. Usually Gulfport is involved because the vibe of Gulfport and the downtown, mm-hmm. usually, especially in cozy mysteries, there's a small town, and it's a town where there's a cute downtown and everybody knows each other. So Gulfport kind of fits that bill. Mm-hmm. Mount Dora also kind of fits that bill too. Mm-hmm. In my paranormal mysteries, those are largely based after Casadega, because that's a very interesting and unusual place.
Yeah.
But usually I try to, Dade City also is an inspiration. My first journalism job was in Pasco County. Mm. And I was in West Pasco. And then my friends were in the East Pasco Bureau in Dade City. And I just remember the guys at the East Pasco Bureau, at that time they were above a bar downtown. And
Perfect.
Jan Glidewell was there, longtime listeners remember Jan Glidewell and his wit for the St. Pete Times. Mm-hmm. And they used to tell these incredible stories about Dade City. And I would always go over there to go to Cafe Cocopelli. And I always thought it was so cute, and lunch on Limoges.
A lot of information. I guess that's kind of what Carl Heisen did with his fiction career. He used a lot of the material he gained from as a journalist.
Right.
But before we get into that, since listeners may not know your whole career, let's just do a breakdown. And I do want to talk about your latest book, which is it's listed as a Starlight River Cozy Romance in a Small Town, a Cozy Romance.
Yes.
So we want to talk about that since your next one. But can we break this down? So you did romance. Do you have romance series?
I do. I wrote serial fiction, and I also had series. Mm-hmm. I did some serials. I did some long serials for serial fiction apps, Wattpad, Radish. But I also traditionally published three books Those are the ones that aren't set in Florida. One is sort of set in Florida, but they're set more internationally. They're Formula One romances. Mm-hmm. And one of those, it's called Drive, is becoming an Amazon Prime movie. And that should be out this fall.
That's exciting.
Yeah, it's already filmed. I went to the filming of some scenes in Italy last year, which was really exciting. It was in Positano, so it was very idyllic.
And when is the movie coming out?
Later, I don't think I can say the exact date, but it's this fall.
It is soon.
It's done.
Now, when you say Formula One, you mean the racing?
Yes. So my book was based on was a formula. We didn't use the term Formula One because that's heavily trademarked and copyright. Mm-hmm. We did a similar racing circuit to Formula One. And then the German movie production company and Amazon Prime, they actually partnered with I guess a circuit. I don't know how much I can say about this, but they partner. It's based on a circuit in the Germany, mm-hmm. in Germany.
A race car circuit.
A race car circuit.
And what is the name of the movie?
Drive.
It will be on
Amazon Prime. There will be subtitles. I think it'll be dubbed.
That's so exciting.
It'll be in German. Yeah.
That is so exciting.
But we'll be able to see it here.
I can watch it on Amazon
Prime.
Yeah. That's terrific. So that's your romance career. So that's still very much in play.
Yes and no. I don't write romance anymore. I say that, but I did release romances this year, and I can explain the Starlight River cozy romance, but I can explain that. Most of my time is spent on mysteries now.
Okay, so the Starlight series is a romance series?
The Starlight series, this had kind of an interesting journey. I originally wrote that as a 5-book spicy contemporary romance series in 2019, back when I was still at the Associated Press. I had taken a sabbatical, and I wrote this 5-book, short romance. They were all pretty short, between 40 and 50,000 words, about a family on a Gulf Coast island. And they did okay. And then I took them down, and I self-published those. I took them down. I focused on other things, went back to the Associated Press after my sabbatical, and then I decided after COVID and 2020 that I was done with journalism. And I wrote some cozy mysteries and some paranormal cozy mysteries. But I had these 5 books, and they weren't doing anything. They weren't up. People liked them, but I was like, I'm not writing more in that series. I'm not writing spicy anymore. What do I do with them? Mm-hmm. So I actually reimagined them in my paranormal cozy mystery world. So they're almost like a spinoff. They're like a spinoff family to the paranormal.
So you kind of combined. So
I did.
So there are some dead bodies in this.
No, there aren't. No, the Starlight River romance.
Already dead bodies.
No, it's actually just cozy romance. It's closed door. There's no sex. There's very little swearing. It's just very gentle stories about people falling in love and some light magic. It's set in the same world.
But you're not talking about speaking with the dead or anything like that?
No, not really. No, this is more like potions and light witches
paranormal.
And kind of like New Agey paranormal.
So not like your haunted cookie.
No. But there are characters that appear in both in the Crescent Moon series and in Starlight River. Mm-hmm. So it's more just a little gift. These are short. They became shorter as I took out the sex, obviously. So these are more, if people want to stay in the world, it's just mm-hmm. a way to stay in the world.
Now let's go over to your mysteries. Mm-hmm. So the Crescent Moon is paranormal.
Yes.
And that's mystery.
Yes, it's paranormal.
Now we've eliminated the sex, eliminated that sort of a genre of romance. And now we're into maybe finding people who were killed, or maybe finding people who are just on the other side.
Both. Mm-hmm. Both. The paranormal mysteries have ghosts, witches. There's some merfolk in one of them. There's haunted cookie jars. There's ghosts that gamble in the afterlife. There's ghost animals. There's ghosts that turn off the air conditioner in August in Florida.
But no murders?
No, there's murders. I look at these as like Nancy Drew mm-hmm. for adults. Mm-hmm. Nancy Drew, Practical Magic, Scooby-Doo. And some of them are sort of more traditional murder mysteries, but with magic.
Okay. And that's what you're currently working on? Or not?
Sort of. I have a.
You never give up these things completely. Sort of,
no.
That's great.
I mean, that's the thing is, like, when you self-publish, you can kind of shift around. So,
yeah, according to the interest, too.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And in book six of the Crescent Moon Mysteries, I had a secondary character named Clara. And I knew, I should back up. Before I wrote the Crescent Moon Mysteries, once I left the AP and before I wrote the Crescent Moon Mysteries, Hallmark was looking for beach mysteries. And I'm like, that's me, right? Like, I am going to do that. A beach cozy mystery. Like, that is, because my first mystery series was the Coffee Lovers mystery series set on the beach in Florida. So I was like, I'm going to do it. So I wrote 50 pages. My agent submitted it. We went to acquisitions. We were really close. The editor, who I knew, helped me write the whole synopsis. It was like I was ready. And then they declined at the last minute, and they shut down the mystery line. Uh-huh. And the editor left.
Oh, no.
So I had this 50 pages and this entire book written out about this character who runs a flower truck, very similar to, I don't know if you've seen Posey's flower truck around town, very similar to that. Mm-hmm. And I had that in my computer for years, and I was like, what am I going to do with that? And so I had that character. She made an appearance in book six of the Crescent Moon Mysteries. And now she gets her own spinoff series. But she's not paranormal. She's not witchy. She's just a contemporary mystery.
She's just flower lady.
She's just flower lady solving mysteries.
That sounds
so
great.
I'm actually working on that. It's called Beach Blooms Mystery. And
so that's the next series you're hoping to
yes.
develop.
And so that
so the coffee mysteries were the first. And
yes.
Is that complete? Maybe. You never know.
Well, my publisher, despite it earning out, did not want anymore. So it's complete for now. But if I can get the rights back ever, I'll write more in that series.
Oh, that sounds terrific. Yeah. Combining mystery and coffee is always a good
yes.
idea. And then, so then you have the Moon Crescent series, which is paranormal. And
yes.
now you have a spinoff of that with the Flower Lady.
And a spinoff.
And then you have something called Critters and...
Right. So I also have a spinoff from Crescent Moon, the Hemlock Hollow series, which is Witches in Vermont. And then the Critters and Criminals series was, again, something that I wrote kind of in that in-between period from me leaving journalism to writing Crescent Moon in 2023. And that is actually more of an edgy, cozy mystery. It's still cozy, but it's a little more on the Carl Hiaasen side, but a little more feminine. It's about a gator trapper in Florida who solves crimes with her twin sister who runs a romance bookstore.
This is amazing. Oh, there's the overlap again.
Yes.
You're never going to get away
no,
from
no, and
those
I have
overlaps.
Romance in all of
That's
mine.
Good.
But
yeah.
my later books, the books The Flower Truck and The Witch in Vermont, those are even older characters. Those are characters in their mid-50s. And so the romance is not, there is romance, but it is not as pronounced as the other books.
Now let's, okay, that gives us a little bit of the layout. And now I do want to talk about your latest, which is the Starlight series, Starlight River series. But before we get into that, because then that will give us a chance to talk about place, let's talk about this journalism versus fiction writing, because it seems like almost when you're talking about all the different series you're doing, it kind of reminds me of being in journalism and saying, okay, now I'm going to do this, now I'm going to cover that. Then journalists have to be sort of a jack of all trades. And you seem to have transferred that over, that energy over into your writing, which is fabulous. But what's it like for a journalist having all those years having to adhere to the truth that now you get to tell whatever you want? I mean, in a way, you still have to tell the truth. There has to be truth. That I always say this, that people say, oh, I have a friend who says, oh, I never really, you know, read fiction. And, you know, you can't believe anything that's in a book of fiction. And I said, no, you can believe it, because the idea of fiction is to get at a different kind of truth than journalism or in essays and so on. So I'd like to hear your take on that. What's it like to have that freedom to invent?
I mean, it's very freeing to be able to invent. I write genre fiction to entertain. So I'm not sure if I'm looking for an overall truth. I'm not sure if I'm I don't think that – I don't set out really to expose – like in literary fiction and in forms of, you know, literary thriller, literary suspense, maybe even literary romance, but I'm not entirely sure about that. I think in literary fiction, you're writing to expose a truth about the wider world. And in genre fiction, I'm not sure – I'm not looking for that, exactly. I'm looking to solely entertain. I'm looking for people to flip the pages and flip them fast, basically. Mm-hmm. I'm looking...
That's great. That's a great answer. But I'm a big mystery fan, mm-hmm. and I was a big Nancy Drew fan. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you compared it to Nancy mm-hmm. Drew, you compare it to this. And yes, Nancy Drew mysteries, they were entertaining, mm-hmm. It was a whodunit. But there was a larger thing being said in the Nancy Drew series, at least to a young girl like mm-hmm. me, which is, sure. girls can do this too.
Well,
And I think so. There's always some, I get what you mean, there's maybe not some global, or philosophical meaning to it that maybe literary fiction is trying to get at. But I think every book tells us something about the world.
Well, it should. And yes, I write about middle-aged witches. So obviously, just by that fact alone, it's kind of political. Mm-hmm. Because obviously there are a lot of people who read, not a lot, but I think there's a contingent of cozy mystery readers who are looking more for religion and evangelical themes in their mm-hmm. books. And simply by the fact that I'm writing middle-aged witches, that tells you what kind of books they are, I think.
Well, even your woman trapped in the cookie jar. I mean, it's a kind of saying, don't forget me.
Right. Yes.
I was here at one
yes.
time and I did wonderful things. So those are pretty, in their own way, kind of deep things to be talking about in a very entertaining way.
Yes.
That's what I like about mysteries.
No, I agree with you.
They're not knocking you on the head.
Right. No, I agree with you. I agree with you.
So don't cut yourself short.
No.
You're probably saying very profound things.
Well, I don't set out to say profound
no,
things,
that's
but
a good
I think
point,
that
yeah.
I think that I do.
That's a good qualification.
I look at myself as a pulp fiction writer.
Mm,
really is what I look at myself. Mm. If pulp fiction writers, pulp fiction writers are the precursor to the people like me who are writing for Kindle Unlimited now, mm-hmm. who are exclusive to Amazon and who are getting paid by the page read. I mean, we get paid other ways mm-hmm. too, but that's largely how I make my money. And so we write fast. We write fairly short. My traditional mm-hmm. mysteries are 80,000 words. My mm-hmm. self-published mysteries are 50,000. Mm-hmm. These are books that I can, finish in a couple months mm-hmm. writing.
Now, how about this movie that's coming out? What do you want the moviegoer or me sitting in my house watching my Prime movies, what would you want me to come away with that movie?
Well, it's not cozy.
That's romance, right?
It's romance, yeah. Yes.
And so what would be my takeaway of a movie?
Oh, I think...
The best takeaway.
I mean, I think if you like auto racing and hot European auto racing drivers, that it really is your takeaway. The leads are very beautiful. The male lead who plays Dante Annunziata is a tall German Lebanese man who's also a model, and he's very handsome. Mm-hmm. He's very sweet. It's his first movie. The leading lady, she is a young actress from Germany who has acted in German films since she was little. So it's a whole different process.
Great scenery.
Great scenery. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They did some track shoots, mm-hmm. In Prague. It's going to be really international, which is really fun. It's just going to be a real romp. I'm very curious to know how spicy it will be because the book is fairly spicy, but I also know that Germany often has spicier media than we do. So it's going to be very interesting with some scenes. Let's just put it that
way. And how much do you have to do with the final script?
Nothing. I sold my rights.
Is that usually how it goes?
I have no idea.
It's probably smart, right?
I'm probably not like a lot of fiction writers. After being a journalist, especially an Associated Press journalist, I just, my words are, once they're out, they're out. Mm-hmm. I don't feel a lot of ownership of them. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't feel particularly proprietary or protective once they're out. People can interpret. People can review. Mm-hmm. I read all of my reviews. I don't get upset by them. Mm-hmm. I have a very thick skin after being a journalist. And so something that somebody told me in my earliest internship as a journalist was at KABC in Los Angeles. And my mentor there said, it's just news. It's just words. There will be more tomorrow.
Yeah.
And so I don't get to, if somebody wants to use my words as for a movie and the script isn't, racist, sexist, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. super offensive in certain ways. I'm not.
Yeah, your objection wouldn't be to that they somehow change the scene or
no.
two. Yeah. I think that probably is a lot from journalism training is, you know, a lot of journalists say that they're surprised when people stop them and say, oh, I loved your article. And, you know, you're on to like the third or fourth article.
Right.
And you go, well, what article?
Right.
And then you realize, oh, yeah, that was in the paper, but
yes.
it was, I think as a journalist, I had the same reaction. I think a lot of people do. It's you're on to the next deadline.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I still have people occasionally, like once a year, somebody will email me and say, hey, you wrote this story in 2001 in Pasco County. And I'm like, oh, dear, I don't remember. And it's like a very important moment in their life because their father was murdered and I wrote about it. And I'm like, oh, I don't remember that.
Yeah,
and how could I not remember it? But because I covered like 500 homicides in my time,
you had sort of moved on. Yeah, that's an interesting thing. So that segues into talking about choosing to actually fictionalize where you place your mysteries. So let's talk about your current. It's the fifth in the series, the last of the series.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about the story and what this next one is.
So the setup is that there are five siblings, and each sibling gets a love story. And so this is the fifth sibling. It's the one sister in the bunch, and she gets a love story.
Oh, the other were brothers.
The others were brothers.
Mm-hmm.
And they were all kind of himbos. They were all kind of
himbos.
They were all kind of just sort of handsome, goofy, insta-love guys. Really what all five books are about are all five heroines become friends. So by the fifth book, all of the heroines are hanging out. There's like a loose coven of like-minded people. And so they
appear. You're getting meaning here.
This right.
meaning of friendship.
Right. And friendship is a big thing.
Yeah.
And so she, our heroine, she decides to try out, or she's chosen, actually, to participate in a photography experiment where the Chamber of Commerce is taking pictures of people on the beach, total strangers, a stranger photo shoot, and to see what kind of connection the strangers have. And of course, she's paired up with a very handsome man, and it's their story.
Mm.
And he's a single dad. She never wanted to be a mom.
Mm-hmm.
And he has ties to a person from her past who hurt her. So she has to get over that as well.
Well, that sounds like an interesting story. So now, you said that in, it's called... what's the name of the city?
Oh, this one is Crescent. This one is Cypress Grove.
Cypress Grove.
Yes.
Okay, so Cypress Grove is the mashup, as you put it.
Yes.
Between Gulfport and Casadega.
Casadega, yes.
Okay, so now Casadega is a place where people associate paranormal experiences.
Yes, and psychics.
And psychics and so on. And, of course, we usually think of Gulfport as weird.
Right, exactly.
So it's kind of a nice mashup.
Yeah.
But why not just pick one or the other? I mean, why not name a city? Why do you make that choice?
I felt like Casadega didn't have enough of a quaint downtown.
Mm-hmm.
And Gulfport has that quaint downtown.
Mm-hmm.
And I definitely wanted the New Age vibe, which Gulfport did have.
Mm-hmm.
But I really like the idea of the psychic capital of the world. And so in my book, it's also called the psychic capital of the world, which I think that Casadega also tries to market itself
that,
as. It does not have the spiritualists. And that was the other thing. I didn't want to put it in Casadega because I didn't want to tread on the spiritualists. Like that was not my goal, to recreate their situation.
So in a sense, you get a little bit of something from each locale.
Yes,
exactly. And then create your own locale.
Exactly.
And is that usually been the in all of these other cases the reason you mash it up opposed to?
Pretty much. And also St. Pete also does infuse it quite a bit. I mean, St. Pete has a lot of those qualities. The only thing is St. Pete's a little bigger than your usual cozy mystery town. I do have an idea for a cozy mystery series in St. Pete, and I think that probably
and you
will
may
be.
Name St. Pete then?
And I may and I'm just going to put it in St. Pete
because I once went to a writing session. And do you know who Laura Lippman is?
Yes.
She writes, and all her mysteries, well, not all of her mysteries, but she's best known for having mysteries set in Baltimore.
Mm.
And Baltimore becomes a character in this.
Yes.
And she was sort of touting the idea of creating something that becomes a character that people can recognize.
Right.
But I think that one of the things that I felt was takes away from doing that, and it's a choice the writer makes, of course, is that inevitably, if you write and set it in a place, even if you set it in a time that's slightly changed, there's going to be someone who says, well, you know, Central Avenue didn't run
you know,
north and south, and ran east and west. Well, you know, you changed it because it worked for your your mystery or your piece. And so, in some ways, by putting something as fictional, you free yourself from that.
Yes,
you free for yourself from the critique of that's not the way it looks. That's not the way it was.
Yes, and from a purely journalistic standpoint, also. And just from a practical standpoint, if you're writing about Florida and like a specific place, Florida changes so much. I mean, you know how much St. Pete has changed over the last 20, 30 years. If you wrote about St. Pete 30 years ago, you would not recognize it. And it's very different than it used to be. I mean, you can go out of town for a couple of weeks and come back and entire buildings are razed.
Oh, well, that's true.
So there's like a lack of permanence in the real places in Florida. Mm-hmm. And the other thing that I am always sort of mindful of, and I kind of got out of the idea of putting real places. In 2016, my first indie romance, my non-traditionally published, was called Tell Me a Story, and it was set in Orlando, and I had just put out the first installment of that. It was a series. I had just put out the first installment, and about, I don't know, 3 months later, Pulse happened. And it was like, I felt like the news story, and obviously because I was covering it on the ground, mm-hmm. it was very fresh in my mind and mm-hmm. in my heart, but it kind of colored the writing in my mind, mm-hmm. even though I don't think it did to the reader.
But in my mind. You thought, well, somehow, how could you be talking about this place without talking about some seminal thing that happened
in
the
place? Exactly. And I just feel like, especially in Florida, where things tend to happen.
That's an interesting line. Now, some people have followed that in their. I've looked up novels before talking with you. I looked mm-hmm. up novels set in Tampa Bay, mm-hmm. and there aren't that many.
No,
I mean that's kind of surprised me. Now, one of the things that I was kind of delighted by was the fact that you're kind of following in the footsteps of Jules Verne, who called it Tampa Town in his novel that was set in Tampa, which I thought was kind of inventive. But other people, you know, Live and Let Die, there was mm-hmm. set in St. Petersburg, and he named James Bond came to St. Petersburg.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah,
wow.
And I had a whole list that I went through, and some of them, you know, there's been a few mysteries.
Mm-hmm.
Kathy Hogan Trocheck has done a few. And another person is Cheryl Holland.
Cheryl has really done a lot.
She's done ones.
The Glass ones.
Now, of course, she's made up the place.
Right.
Although I think she based it on the stained glass shop that actually I learned stained glass at. I was delighted to see her put that on the map because she said it was on Central Avenue. It's no longer there. But again, I don't think that necessarily bothers a reader that something is no longer there.
No.
So they wonder, and you could, I suppose, say, this never existed or this always existed.
Exactly.
And that's kind of interesting. You lock in something that people would remember. Oh, I remember that there was this coffee shop and now it's not there anymore.
What I love is that people read, like, the coffee mysteries or the Crescent Moon mysteries, and they say, oh, I thought it was a real place in Florida, because it seems so wacky that mm-hmm. people would be like, oh, yeah, that makes sense. It's Florida.
Well, that leads me to ask that question, because there are several places, you know, several mysteries where it has become, I'm thinking of, I blanked on her name, the Canadian.
Louise Penny.
Louise Penny,
yes,
of course.
Absolutely.
And that's Three Rivers. There are tours to Three Rivers when it doesn't exist.
Right, exactly.
As a place.
Exactly.
And yet there are enough places that do exist that mm-hmm. That people want to have the feel for it.
Yeah, so. I did the same thing with the Hemlock Hollow, the spinoff in Vermont. I mean, it's very much based on the town I went to high school in Vermont. And there are landmarks, you know, Burke Mountain and Willoughby Lake and St. Johnsbury, all of those things around it. But I called it something else. But essentially, it's Lynnonville, Vermont.
So even if she just didn't name St. Petersburg or Gulfport or Casadega, we're on to you.
Yes.
We can find out where it is.
Although I will do St. Pete sometime soon. I promise.
Thank you so much for
You're
I would
welcome.
Love to I'm looking forward to that because I'd like to see what you would do calling it St. Pete.
Thank you.
But thank you so much for coming in and talking to us about your work and good luck with that terrific movie Drive.
Thanks.
And your next series, the last of the Starlight River series.
Well, thanks for having me.
And thank you, Tara and Tamara.